Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You're listening to Borders, audio stories about borders by the people who cross them. I'm Caitlin Pierce. I met Nate when I was out with a group of friends. Somehow it came up that he had hiked the entire Appalachian Trail, but he didn't want to talk about it. This seems so weird to me. Every other person I've ever met who's thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail always wants to tell stories about their trip. Nate didn't. Something had happened on the trail, and I wanted to find out what that was. I got in touch with his hiking partner, Jen, too.
I heard about it my freshman year of college, and one girl on my frisbee team, she was like, let's do it over spring break, we'll just do a week, we won't pack underwear, we'll pack really light, and I was just like hooked, like, what is this girl talking about? And she was like, the Appalachian Trail. So ever since then, if you're going to hike the Appalachian Trail, you hear about it, and you do not get it out of your head until you do it.
Jen Golan was this girl that I had known from way back. My dad had run a summer camp, and she had worked there.
That summer, we both had, like, big crushes on each other and ended up being each other's first kisses, and then, you know, we're friends after that.
And she just came to mind. I hadn't really spoken to her in years.
One September, I was like, you know what? I'm not happy with my job. I'm not happy. Like, I'm sick of where I live, where I am with my life. Like, I want to hike the Appalachian Trail. And he's like, I'll do it with you.
I took the time off. I set aside an amount of money. I had subletted my apartment, and it seemed very, very easy what I was going to do. We booked tickets to Atlanta, I guess in January, and then it became real.
So the Appalachian Trail is a 2,100-mile-long hiking trail that connects Georgia to Maine. And it generally takes about 6 months for someone to walk the entire thing.
I had like the flu or whatever for the first week, and then I have had seasonal allergies, so then that was happening, and all these were hampering me. And then once I wasn't sick anymore,
I was like, let's ease into it. But Nate did not have that same mentality. He just wanted to push as far as he could each day.
I was realizing my level of performance was higher than maybe Jen's was.
I think the third day, it was freezing rain. It was probably 35 degrees, and we hiked for 9 hours. And that, I mean, when we set up tent, my lips were completely blue. I was shaking.
She didn't want to hold me back. I didn't want to leave her, but like I was kind of ready to fully experience, you know, what it was to be walking such a distance and how to accumulate as many miles as possible and how to really, yeah, I guess explore the limits of myself.
I basically just had to put my head down and not even really like think about it too much, I guess, because otherwise you'd be like, what the hell am I doing? Why am I here?
But that being said, Jen was very tenacious. You know, she really went after it, and she really wanted to keep up.
I think Nate had this idea in his mind of being like the uber badass of the trail. He wanted to do it as fast as he could, and he didn't care about the journey. He wanted to get to that destination and have it done. And I didn't really have that same mindset. You know, I'd like to learn the different trees and, you know, learn how to eat different things in nature and, you know, meet people and stuff like that. So we kind of clashed a little bit, but we committed to staying together.
I was, you know, still feeling very strongly the pull of New York and developing a mindset that was like, I want to get this done.
We had hiked 17 miles that day, and I was like, it was 7 o'clock. Nate's like, we're doing 5 more. Like, we are doing 5 more miles. And, you know, that takes a good, like, 2 hours or so. And I was just like, why are we doing that? Like, why? And I'm like, can't we just stay here? He's like, no, we're going. So I, like, put my pack on, and I, like, trudge along. And I literally walk down the hill probably about 500 feet, and there is, you know, a group of, like, 12 people that we had, you know, met and hiked with. And I was like, I am stopping and I am not going any further. Like, I am staying with them.
You know, she had promised that we were going to go, we would night hike that night. But part of the group decided not to night hike. And she was like, I want to stay here by this river. And I was like, I've already, you know, I need to get these miles in and do that and night hike. So,
and he, because I wanted to hang out with people, and he's like, well, I'm going. And so he, like, kept hiking his 5 extra miles by himself.
I did not like hiking alone. I guess the dark exacerbated things, but, like, it was dark.
He did have the tent that we shared, so I was like, well, I guess I'll just sleep under the stars. And it was just fun. Like, I mean, I had 2 hours instead of hiking 5 miles. I had 2 hours of, like, talking to people and, you know, like, eating more food and just relaxing, I guess, and enjoying myself.
All by myself. Super dark. Finally, you know, found a place to tent down, but, you know, I woke up because there was a raccoon, like, playing with my ear through the tent, and it was just, like, so frightening, and I was so alone. And, you know, it just felt really raw.
Towards the end, it was me and Nate. We didn't see anyone for, like, 8 days straight. You know, we're hiking 26 miles. It's just the two of us. We'd run out of things to say. It just became, like, extremely monotonous and just, like, I mean, it was like I was at my job again, you know? And I was like, this is not why I did this trail.
You could feel something was ending because more and more there were things we weren't telling the other person, you know? And we got separate tents. I think the hardest thing is when you reach halfway and you have this huge celebration and then realize that you still have as far as you've come to go. You've gone over 1,000 miles. It's a big deal. You've gone incredibly far and done all these really hard things, and yet you're only halfway. And then the second half is harder and, you know, more challenging in every way. So that was really tough, I think, for her.
And probably about 3 weeks later, I had, like, a breakdown. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore.
There was a point where my parents were driving through,
and we were waiting at one of these shelters for his parents to come. And I just remember, I mean, there were probably 6 other hikers there. And they were like, oh, you know, when did you guys start? And we're like, oh, April 1st. And they're like, holy cow, you guys are going super fast. You know, they had left, like, March 10th or something. So they were just, like, in awe of, like, how fast we were going. And I just wanted to be like, I don't fucking care. Like, I just hate this right now. Like, and Nate's like, yeah, you know, we're going really fast. And he's, like, really excited about it. And I was just like, I just want to go home.
I found out then kind of that she was ready to quit. She was done. And we decided to go to the beach for a week and, you know, figure it out.
You know, Nate is not the most, like, caring person and understanding and that kind of thing. So him being the person, like, trying to make me feel better, you know, wasn't the most effective thing, even though he tried really hard.
She ended up going back on the trail, and very soon thereafter, we're still in New Jersey at this point. There was some sort of, you know, separation that happened again that was, like, a physical one where I overhiked where we were supposed to meet, and you know, it was just this kind of nail in the coffin.
Probably had about 8 miles to hike to this town where my friend was going to pick us up. And so, you know, I'm packing up. I like tap Nate because he's still sleeping. I'm like, hey, like, meet me in this town, you know, by 11. That's when she's coming to pick us up. And it gets to be 10:30, 10:45, and like Nate's not here. So I call him and I was like, hey, you know, like, my friend's going to be here soon. Like, where are you? And he goes, oh, I'm like 2 miles away. I was like, that's not the right town, Nate. Like, you went an extra like 20 miles. And he was like, oh, I guess it did feel like it was like pretty far. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, you're driving me crazy. So my friend picked us up and then we drove the 20 miles to get Nate. And then
we went to a pig roast for like 4th of July or something. And she bought a ticket home. Kind of, you know, without consulting me. I mean, she was done.
I was like, Nate, I'm not coming back. Like, I told him that. And so the next day we dropped him off.
At first, it was very symbolic because she got off the trail, you know, very abruptly. And so there's a point where we both have dumped out both of our backpacks. And I'm scared and didn't know how I was going to be without her. So I'm taking way more than I need, probably. Essentially everything that was in her pack I put in mine, and then I'm going to try and do these bigger miles, and I've just doubled the weight of my pack.
It was sad, you know, like, take care of yourself, like, be careful, but I was just like so happy to be going home. But you know, it was just like a quick hug, you know, my friend's waiting in the car. I was like, take care of yourself, and then he was on his way.
And so I had this literal weight of her absence put this literal weight on me of her stuff, and I have to carry these things.
I think he was bummed, and I don't know. You'll have to get this out of him. So I really don't know if he preferred like hiking with me or if he preferred not. I do think he was a little bummed that I wasn't going to be there anymore.
Really, really. Pretty awful about it, because not only was that, even when I first heard about the trail, I instantly knew I was not going to enjoy doing it by myself. I mean, that's just not me. I'm not that insular, but I would not have been able to accomplish what I accomplished while still with a hiking partner. So in the end, you know, I see that is the trade-off that worked out. I finished. What people average is between 10 and 16 miles a day hiking. So I was just going to really just try and turn it up for this last part through New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. And just do that whole thing, and I was averaging about 30 miles a day, or trying to do 100 miles every 3 days. So it was very stressful, and every time you got lost, I'd be so upset because I'm losing these hours. I'm gonna have to hike. If I went 3 miles out of the way, I have 6 miles total out of the way, I'll lose this time. 6 miles off that average, I have to hike 36 miles that day to make it. You know, like, it got very, very tenuous. So I definitely spent more time lost. You know, I'm sure we made the same amount of wrong turns, but we fixed them much more quickly. There were some moments of real fear, you know, just not when I was not looking for the trail anymore, but like a safe place to curl up in a ball. So that was lost. That was really, really lost. It would be hard to keep enough food to eat, and because I was burning maybe 7,000 to 8,000 calories a day, and it's about 5.5 double down sandwiches every day. So I, at least people would recognize it's probably not healthy, but when it's necessary, it's very strange. I mean, yeah, I was always dangerously thin. Then that getting too heavy with the foods that I'm eating, and then having to just basically figure out ways to just be have powders, you know, like nothing but powders in my bag, and to get rid of my stove. So everything was just either being softened in water on my back during the day, like in a water bottle. And so then by the time it was nighttime, it was like soft enough to eat. And that was basically it all day, every day. Post-gen, yeah, I looked at, in terms of efficiency, what were shorts offering me that underwear was not, and there was no answer. So got rid of shorts, got rid of pants. That's funny, though, the only actual real blister I had, I got the second to last day because I was wearing, you know, one child sock or something like that, because that was all I had found in the last laundromat. But yeah, it was over and done. And it was funny because there wasn't a major delineation between this whole thing that you've been doing and building up for, and then when it actually ended, you know, there was no difference. There's some pictures, you know, some lighthearted congratulation, but then, and it's not like it's raining confetti. There wasn't like some sort of structure that carried you back home, or like just on the shoulders of crowds, you know, like carried back triumphantly. It was just like up and down, and you were just a signature in a book at that point. So I had to spend then like a couple hours hitchhiking, and then I had to spend the night in like a Walmart parking lot, and then I had a bus leaving from there all the way to back to New York. But it was like a 15-hour bus ride or something like that, which was miserable. I'm glad I finished. I think it's cool that I did it. I think it still is going to take more time before I'm glad that I undertook it. Just because in surviving, you just become this, like, the choices that you make are like very selfish and very self-centered, and they kind of have to be. And those types of decisions and that type of selfishness is not something that I like in myself. And it was brought out and then made habitual by doing this thing. So that, in some ways, makes it hard for me to be really glad that I did it. What I had to do to succeed was give up a good chunk of my soul. And a relationship with a friend that I'd known for a long time as well. You know, that kind of thing is not something I would have thought I would be weighing in.
Thank you so much, Jen Golan and Nate Perry, for sharing your story. You've been listening to Borders Radio. Andy Diaz wrote our theme music. I'm Caitlin Pierce. For more stories about borders, visit bordersradio.org.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.